I'm gonna get I was just gonna get Aruna to do the reading here, so you can just set up. Just means you can. Aruna, are you ready to come up and do the reading? Ready? Here's great. Aruna only got told about 10 minutes ago, by the way, so just give her a bit of grace.
Praise God. I'm going to read Exodus 14, the whole chapter. It's about Red Sea crossing. Chapter 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Phi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has crossed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptian pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the seaside, Phi Hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians,' for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptian than that we should die in the wilderness?" And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptian whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea, and I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptian, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gained honor for myself over the Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptian and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by the night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptian pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptian through the pillars of fire and cloud. And he troubled the army of the Egyptian, and he took off their chariot's wheel so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptian said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptian. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptian, on the chariots and on the horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptian were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptian in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptian, and the Israel saw the Egyptian dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful morning, O Lord. Thank you, Father, that you refresh our soul with your word, O Lord. Because the word says your word is a living word. It's a daily manna for our soul, O Lord. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Mike that you brought in today, O Lord, to give us the word of God, to nourish our soul, to uplift our spirit, O Lord. Lord, I pray that every word he preached may the word from your throne of grace, O Lord, that fills our spirit and bring joy and hope to our heart in this difficult time, O Lord. Lord, I bless Pastor Mike, O Lord, and I pray that you touch our heart through his lips today. You speak through him, O Lord, that your word may bring honor and glory to your name alone, O Lord. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm on this one. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you for reading that. Sorry to inflict a whole chapter and a very long chapter on you, but thank you so much. When I was 17, I bought my first car, a blue Mini, an Austin Mini. And I think, it looked a bit like that, but not as smart as that. I bought it for £50. And it had a few, it was 1989, it had a few issues, which was really brought to a head one particular night when I was driving home from work, and I was driving up a slipway onto a dual carriageway, and it was dark, and in my headlights, I saw something move, and I thought, what's that? And then I thought, oh, someone's lost a wheel, a white alloy wheel just like mine. And it slowly dawned on me, it was mine. Hang on, I'm doing 65 miles an hour and my car is on three wheels. One has come off. And no sooner had I thought that than the car started to snake and it started to move towards the embankment on one side, and then it moved across and onto the dual carriageway with the oncoming traffic. And it was swinging like this, and I'm thinking, this is it, I've had it, I'm dead. And I thought, this is where I do not want to be in this moment. Unfortunately, and I think God has something to do with it, I had the presence of mind to not jam on the brakes and bring the car to a gradual stop. And we kind of dragged along the edge of the dual carriageway and managed to stop. And I was fine. The car wasn't, but anyway. This passage in Exodus, we see God's people find themselves in a place where they don't want to be. And just to give a bit of historical context to this, so this chapter happens where God's Old Testament people have been in slavery in Egypt for hundreds of years. So they've been slaves. And then God raises up Moses, remember him, the guy with the beard, the guy that God reveals, the burning tree that doesn't burn up. And he raises up Moses to lead the people from slavery into freedom. And he's the one that goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. Pharaoh has other ideas. And then we see a series of plagues that God sends to convince Egypt and Pharaoh that God is with them and he must let his people go. And so God shows up. The people literally walk out of Egypt into freedom, what's called the Exodus, which is why this book is called Exodus. And this is where we find ourselves. This is what's just happened. And I wonder if you can imagine with me for a moment what that must have been like for God's people. They've been born into slavery. That's all you've known. So you're just working every single day, manual labor, hard work under the heat of a Middle Eastern sun, either on Pharaoh's cities, building them, or in the fields producing crops, all for the wealth of Egypt. You're a slave. And that's all you've ever known. That is what you've been born into. And then God shows up in the most miraculous way. Deliverance comes, and here you are, embarking on a new life, the life that you've never dared dream of. It's here. Can you imagine the joy, the laughter, the conversation? You were literally walking into this new life of freedom. Life is good. And we read in verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp between Migdol and the sea. So let's be clear. It is God that is leading them here. We're told in verse 19 that God has provided a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. So it is God that is making it absolutely clear, you're following my lead. I'm leading you here. So that gets interesting, because how is it that one minute they're celebrating freedom and the next there's a horrifying sight in the distance, a terrifying sound, the most powerful army in the then known world, chariots, infantry, cavalry, and they're coming after you. And the people of God are saying, this is not where we want to be. A Red Sea in front, a powerful enemy behind. There's nowhere to go. God's people find themselves at an impasse. This wasn't the plan. And I wonder if you can relate this morning. Now, I'm not suggesting you've got an Egyptian army chasing you. But have you found yourself in that place where you don't want to be? You're following Jesus. You're endeavoring to follow God's leading, and then life happens. The disappointment hits. The challenge comes. Someone who you've trusted lets you down. A health diagnosis for you or someone you love that you didn't see coming. A difficulty that you just can't seem to get past. Or maybe you're suffering loss, or maybe your mental health is not where you want it to be. Fill in the blanks, but it feels a little like God's people in this moment. This is not where I want to be. Why have you led me here, God? Why am I facing this? I thought you, God, promised freedom and victory, so why this? And like the Old Testament people here, it feels a little bit like we're in a cul-de-sac. We don't see a way out. Can you relate? I was with our young people at Hope Church a little while ago, and they do this thing that anyone that comes that's not normally there, they get them to share a kind of fact that no one would know anything about. And so I was thinking, well, what could I tell them? Oh, I know. So I told them, did you know that I helped make a bomb? Now, they were utterly shocked, and they decided at the end of this, I shouldn't be a pastor, and I shouldn't be leading their church. But heads up, it wasn't a real bomb, but it wasn't good. And I don't know if you've ever done things as a teenager, perhaps, that you look back and think, what was I thinking? What was I not thinking? So I was 13 years old. I grew up in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Now, this was in a season, if something looked like a bomb, it was a bomb. So making something that looked like a bomb, not cool. But me and my friends were bored, summer holiday. We thought it'd be a good idea to get some electronic devices and some other things that looked like explosives and make something that looked like a bomb. And then we thought, well, what will we do with it? So we put it on someone's doorstep, rang the doorbell, and ran. I mean, how bad is that? Can't even believe I'm confessing that. How did I become a pastor? I have no idea. And the next thing I know, we were feeling quite smug with ourselves, and then the police arrive. And they're driving down the street, and we all automatically assume, that's it, we're done. So we start running. And I'm thinking things like, I'm going to be convicted for acts of terrorism. I'll be locked up, I'll never see my family again. That's it. And all those thoughts are going through my mind. And then the police drove past. And it wasn't, they weren't after us. And we weren't caught. But what a precarious position to be in as a 13-year-old. What a stupid place to be. And here are God's people in a precarious position. In military terms, it's disastrous. There's no way out. And so this whole episode provokes a question, why? Why has God led them here? And maybe that's the question that you are asking. Why am I here? Why am I facing this? Here's why. Because God had a plan. We read in verse 4, God says, I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. You see, for the creator, for the sustainer of the universe, no way forward, no way out, that's no problem to him. An impossible situation, that's his speciality. There is a way through. And so God wants to use this to reveal his glory. What he wants to do is give a revelation of who he is. God has the perfect plan. And God knows. And he knows about you. God knows Pharaoh's heart. He knows Pharaoh's motives. He knows that Pharaoh is a military strategist and will assume, which is what happens, according to verse 3, that he thinks God's people are wandering around in confusion. And so here we have God's people. They find themselves with the Red Sea in front, a powerful enemy behind, nowhere to go. But look, verse 13. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. God tells Moses to stretch out his hand over the sea. And so he causes a strong east wind to literally divide the water, causing a causeway for God's people to walk through the Red Sea, as if they're on dry land. And the pursuing army of Egypt follow into the sea. And again, Moses stretches out his arm, and the water returns, drowning the enemy, drowning the Egyptian army. And you might be thinking, well, that's a bit harsh. What's going on there? Well, if you go back to chapter 1 in Exodus, you will see that Egypt is being judged by drowning for drowning Israel's sons. And this event, we are told in Scripture, happens at daybreak. Why does it tell us that? Because that is the very time of day that the Egyptians would start their day and they would look to Ra, the sun god. And they would look to him to be their provider. And they would look to him to be their help and deliverance. But not today. Because God had said, I will gain glory for myself. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. This Red Sea crossing has been debated by theologians for centuries. And it's often explained away. Some would say it was the Reed Sea, so they kind of walked over on a marsh. Others say, well, it was just a low tide and it happened to be a particularly high wind. My problem with that, Scripture tells us there were walls of water. So I think we can be pretty safe that the waters were supernaturally divided. God made a miraculous way, and the enemy was defeated. So when the situation was bleak, when there's no way out, they see the deliverance of God. Where there is no way, God makes a way. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. There's a crossing over. And guys, there's a crossing over for you. And if you're asking the question, why am I facing this? Why has life thrown this at me? Why on earth would Jesus lead me here? If I'm following him, why is this happening in my life? How will I get through this? I'm overwhelmed. I don't see a way out. Now, I'm not saying don't bypass your feelings, because I'm very conscious that whatever you're going through, it's real and it's raw, and we're human. And this isn't theory. We as a church have just come through and are going through a really tough time. A young guy in our church, 29 years old, died very suddenly less than a month ago. Just like that. His family are all part of the church. And on Friday, we had a service of thanksgiving for his life. But the incredible thing is that in the rawness and the pain and the grief of that, God has shown up in the most miraculous way. There were so many people watching that gathering on Friday, beginning to ask questions. And so we said, why? Well, we may not know why, but there's hope in this. So God sees what you're going through. But you see, we need to look beyond how it feels, and we need to see with the eyes of faith. God will bring you through. There is freedom and victory to come. There is a crossing over. He's the God of the miraculous. And so what looks impossible for God, with God, all things are possible. And so we look for, we believe for that miracle, that change, that breakthrough, that victory, that healing. And maybe it would be very appropriate for you to ask someone to stand with you in prayer today and believe together. But sometimes, and this might be hard to hear, sometimes it's not the external circumstances that God changes. Sometimes the change is in us. Sometimes it's an internal crossing over that's required. So let's be clear, and I don't think Nico would mind me saying this, but what we're preaching here at Victory Hill, it is not come to Jesus and he will make you healthy, wealthy, and happy. That's not how this works. That is not the gospel. But he has promised freedom and victory and new life. Amen. He's promised transformation. Sometimes we are looking to God, just make it better, God. Take that thing away. Just get me through. And God's saying, I want to take you through it in my way, in my time. See, the Israelites had to go through the sea. They still had to go through it. God made a way, but they still had to go through it. God didn't just miraculously transport them from one area to another, and then they say, oh, great, that was good. That's not how it happens. God made a way through so that they could see God's deliverance up close and personal, so that they got a deeper revelation of who God is, so that they could see God's glory. And here's the thing. Sometimes the disappointment, sometimes that difficulty, that challenge is the very thing that God wants to use. Why? So that we can see his deliverance up close and personal. So that we get a deeper revelation of who God is. So that we see his glory. And so the question then becomes, do I stand firm? Or do I cave in in fear. And the fear is very real for God's people here. In verse 10, it tells us they were terrified. I don't blame them. But notice, fear makes foolish alternatives attractive. And so that's why we find the Israelites saying to Moses, why did you bring us here? That was a stupid idea. Why did we even follow you? We were way better off back there in Egypt. Really? You've been slaves for hundreds of years. You've been calling out to God for deliverance. They forgot. God's people momentarily let fear distract them. And God is showing them who he is. And he's saying, you've seen my miracles. Will I not do it again? And so it might look like God's abandoned. It might feel like God's abandoned. It might look like there's no way through, but there is. Will we trust or will we fear and doubt? And notice there's a command. Moses says in verse 15, advance. If we're going to see deliverance, then we need to advance by faith. You see, the circumstances painted a frightening picture. A Red Sea in front, an advancing army behind. But it's faith, not circumstances, that must shape our advance. That is how we learn to overcome. And it's not the size of our faith. Jesus said, faith is small as a mustard seed, and we'd see mountains move. It's who our faith is in. And who is our faith in? Jesus. He is Lord over all. He is the one seated on the throne. He is the one who is king. In fact, he is king of kings, which means that he's king of your situation. It means that he is king of your life. And so when it looks like there's no way through, there is in Jesus. When life is tough, when you're thinking, why is this happening? Where are you, God? When we're tempted to give in to fear and doubt, remember, God's saying, I want to take you through. Mm-hmm. Through? Really? Do we have to? Because you and I live in a culture where it's all about instant gratification. Talking about enduring? We go to McDonald's. We have to wait 5 minutes for a burger. What? Wait? I want it now. I saw on Friday that there's Amazon drones that now delivering parcels. So you can order and get a parcel within 30 minutes. We live in that culture. Everything's instant. I want it now. But you see what that means, and this is how we need to be careful that it doesn't shape our thinking, because there's no room for patience. There's no room to come through the trial. We want to avoid suffering or challenge at all cost. We want it to feel good now. But Jesus calls us to live counter-culturally. And so the challenges in life, the brokenness, the suffering that we see and are part of, we can't bypass it. But neither did Jesus. And that's what sets Christianity apart from any other religion or philosophy. It doesn't avoid the question of suffering. Suffering is at the very heart of the gospel. It becomes good news. At the heart of the gospel is the cross, and it's all about the challenge, and it's all about difficulty, and it's all about the suffering. And Jesus faces that suffering. He faces that challenge and that difficulty head on. He goes to the cross, and it becomes the very thing that delivers us and brings us freedom. Yeah. See, Jesus, he too knew what it was to have an enemy at his heels and nowhere to go. But he did go. He went to the cross, and he faced the agony of it. He faced that heartache for me. And for you. He took my sin and brokenness on himself. And he took the sin and the brokenness and the mess of all of hurting humanity on himself. And that is what brings us freedom. Through the cross, there is a crossing over in Jesus. And if he went through that, for you, then whatever you are facing, he will meet you there and he will walk with you. You see, there is no greater compassion for what you're facing. He knows. He knows all about difficulty and challenge and suffering. We see it all the way through the narrative of Scripture. In the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stand up for God and they're thrown into a fiery furnace. But there's a fourth, like the son of the gods. Who's that? It's Jesus. In Mark 4, the disciples hit a storm and they're scared. Who shows up? Jesus. Mary and Martha are grieving the loss of their brother. Who shows up? Jesus. And he weeps with them. Whatever you're facing, Jesus meets you there. There is a crossing over because Jesus crossed over for us. We can overcome because he already overcame. We can advance. And I believe that God would encourage you as a church. I believe that this message is for you as individuals, but it's also for you as a church. Because I believe that you have seen many crossing overs to get to this point, and there will be more crossing overs to come. I remember early on, we had planted the church, we had done the first few months, and everything was great. And then one Sunday, I remember just arriving, and we were due to start. We used to meet at 4 p.m, and it was 5 to 4, and the only people in the room were our little team. And I was suddenly overwhelmed with this sense of fear and this sense of, why are you doing this? Why have you irresponsibly done this to your family? Who do you think you are? I mean, this is just going to crumble. And all of these lies from the enemy. And I was just overwhelmed with fear. And so I started praying. And suddenly, the words, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And at that moment, I thought, I don't care if anyone shows up. I'm preaching. And you know, time and time again, God has showed up and revealed that very same word to us. And so I encourage you, there will be times where it feels we don't see a way through. There is. Because God has said, I will build this church. And I was just reminded when we were worshiping, you know how they fire the cannon at 1 o'clock? I just felt that this church was like that. That what you're doing here is firing out a sound across Edinburgh. So I encourage you with that. But back to Exodus 14. Do you see what's happening here? God is forming his people. He's forming his nation at this time. But they're being born out of water just like any baby. You see, the Red Sea crossing marked a new beginning. God's taking them out of slavery and into freedom. But they're being birthed in faith. Faith is what had to characterize God's people. And faith is what characterizes us as God's people. You know the amazing thing about Christianity? It's not that we put our faith in Jesus and God says, well, off you go. Good luck with that. He empowers us. There is fresh grace every single day to live the life that he's called us to live. We read in James 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever life is good and you're living the dream. No, that's not what it says. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This makes no sense at all. Do you get the Bible sometimes? Consider it pure joy when you face trials, but actually, with a grace and a fresh empowering of Jesus, that is how we can face trials of many kinds. This last year, I have had the privilege of walking the length of Scotland from the English-Scottish border way up to Cape Wrath, the most northwesterly point. I didn't do it all in one day. It was done in sections over a period of time. But you know, I realized if I was going to walk 20 plus miles a day carrying all my kit in a backpack, I was going to have to do some training. And I did. And it was an amazing walk. I would recommend it. But you know, in that training, what you're doing is stretching your muscles. And what happens? They become stronger, become leaner, they become more efficient. And it's the same with our faith. It's in the difficulty, it's in the disappointment where we need to call out to God and trust Him. That is where our faith gets stretched. That is where we get a greater revelation of who Jesus is. He meets us there. And by faith, He works fresh grace and fresh power in us, and our faith grows. So whatever you're facing today in life, if it feels like you're up against it, maybe it's that temptation that you just can't seem to overcome. Maybe you're facing loss. Maybe there's a challenge and you're saying, I just can't see my way through. I didn't see that coming. Why am I facing this? Why have you led me here, God? Is there a way through? Yes, there is. There is a crossing over. You can overcome because Jesus already overcame. You can advance. We can advance by faith. There is a crossing over for you. Do not fear. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. So whatever you're facing, there's a crossing over. And as our faith is stretched, we get a bigger revelation of who Jesus is. And in that, He is working something beautiful in us. And we see the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Can I pray for you guys? Lord, I just thank You that Your word is living, active, and powerful. That we can come back to the same passage infinite number of times and You'll say something deeper and new. Thank You for the freshness of that, Lord. Thank You for the power of Your word. And Lord, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here today. And Lord, whatever we're facing, may You bring us to that point where by faith, we see a crossing over in You. Would You meet us there? Would You walk with us? Lord, for those that are hurting, for those that are wounded, would You come and be the God of all compassion, the God of all grace? But Lord, would You fill us with fresh faith today to see with the eyes of faith, to see what You would have us see, to believe, Lord, that You are bringing us forward. And Lord, as a church, I pray over Victory Hill, in the crossing over to come, that You will keep bringing them from strength to strength, that they will see the miraculous deliverance of God again and again and again. In Your mighty name, Lord. Amen.